Morning. Thank you for all your prayers for us, especially Molly, for the last many months. She had primarily two problems. One was the knee. Knee has been fairly good now with the treatment we did, a natural treatment we did in Denton. That worked out very good, but her back problem continues. So we are going primarily to India for a month in a hospital in Trivandrum for the back treatment. It's called Ayurvedic Hospital in Trivandrum. Some of you know this. So please be praying that that treatment will work, if the Lord will be merciful to us on that fact. George and Susie Jacob going with us. Susie is also going to try the same natural treatment for her problem. So they will be both in that hospital same time, almost a month. And I will be also traveling to Andhra, where David and Aravinda's hometown, a conference of the in that general area. Both myself and Alexander Quirin will be ministering the word there. And we will be again be together again in Trichur after that. So need your prayers, a lot of prayers. Please don't forget us from praying for us. This morning, before I speak, we have this young brother visiting with us, Brother Alan Kumar Roy. I have known him for a while now. He come from the state of Bihar in India. He was saved from a very staunch Hindu family. Him and later on his sister also came to know the Lord, and the family is against, very, very much against him in that conviction. But he's here in Florida, studying to be a commercial airline pilot. So, you know, later on when you fly somewhere, make sure who is the captain. It's good to have him here. He says he's so committed to his conviction of the Lord and the fact that he has to go through problems from the family almost regularly. I have asked him to give a very brief testimony of about, I don't know, maybe about now about 9 minutes. Then I will come back and pick up on my subject this morning. So without much more time waste, I'm going to ask him to come and take the first 9 to 10 minutes, and then I'll come back.
It is indeed a great privilege to be here, and by God's grace, I could able to worship you with all saints. And the assembly has asked me to share my brief testimony, so I would like to share my testimony. Myself, Alan Kumar Roy, and I was born in a Hindu family, in a strong family, in a remote village where there was no electricity, there was no road. And I was the seventh child of my parents, and before that, whoever were all born, they all passed away. And altogether, my mom, she gave a birth of 11 babies. And out of 11 babies, only two survived, I and my sister. And my parents, he had a great desire. Though he's very strong, he's like a priest and very committed, very religious man. But he had a desire that I should get a better education in this world. And he put me in a missionary school. And that missionary school was like a Bible college for me. Because why it was Bible college for me? Because every morning and evening there was a Bible study, as well as every Friday there was a moral class, and they used to teach us from the Bible, all the story they say. And then assembly weekly meetings, and Saturday class, and Sunday youth meeting. So all these things was a fun for me, because we don't have to study. But I admitted there in 1997, and all this, I took almost 1 year, and it was a fun for me. But in 1998, one of my teachers, his name is JBK Simon, now he is a full-time minister in Bihar, he's from Kumbhnad, and he challenged us, and he asked us that a student has to memorize John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that we should not perish but have eternal life. While he was sharing it, he was sharing us that who is God, what is eternal, and the word of, and who is sinner, and everything was telling it. But in the same way, I was thinking about myself, that my parents have seen the most number of death in their life, that out of 11, only two survived. And when I born, they dedicated me before the Lord. Lord Shiva, one of the chief goddess of Hindu. And not only that, my parents took an oath and vows that if my son will alive, I will do this certain things as per the religious of Hindu, like sacrifice the animal. And I have visited most temples and pilgrim center in Bihar. And every year we have to sacrifice like lamb, dog. Even one time, my parents, he visited Nepal and he sacrificed buffalo. So all that thing was ritual things. I was watching it, but I had a question in my mind, and I used to ask my parents, "Daddy, why do you do such things year after year?" And my daddy could not give a satisfied answer to me. He never gave a satisfied. He used to tell that I have taken an oath, and we are just fulfilling that vows that you are alive. But on that Saturday class, my teacher was explaining. So that two things was conflicting between me. That he was telling that you are a sinner, and the worship, you cannot do the worship. You cannot worship God with this. A sinner cannot worship God. So I told that we do worship and all that things, sacrifice and all that things. So that conflict was there. But that day I realized that whatever he is telling, that he told that we all tell lie. Being a hostel student, so many mischievous things we used to do it. So he told that you get jealous, you get angry, you all fight each other, you don't do the homework and all that thing, you don't listen to your teachers and all that thing. So he explained, and so I understood that, yeah, whatever he's telling, that is very true in my life. And I do the same thing. Though I do all that ritual activities, but whatever he's telling, that's very true. And that day I received Christ as my personal savior. And even my sister is also, she is a born again, she is a baptized one, and she is also in a fellowship in Chennai Assembly, and she is doing her first year college physician assistant. But my parents, they had a desire, and they were hoping that, lovingly and patiently, they were hoping that I will return back. Because like 10 to 15 years back, one of the village people told that your son has become a Christian and he don't do the idol worship. So, but my daddy told that I know my son very well. He is a very good boy, and he will come back after his education. And now that time has come up. Though they knows that I don't do idol worship, I don't take parts, even I go to villages, though my family still they do all that ritual activities, if my presence is there, I don't take part. As most of the times, I prefer that my presence should not be there. 99% my presence should not be there. But if by any chance, if any vacation is there, if I am there, I don't take. My parents knows it very well. But still, they prefer, they were patiently and lovingly, they were waiting that I will return back. I will turn back and I will join the idol worship. But now, the situation has come in such a way that he is asking me to disrespect the Christ. But I told that, Daddy, if you see the other village boy and other young boy in our village and me, there's so many changes are there in me. That I'm not telling you, the village people has told you. Why there's a change is not because of me. I'm the same youth or same boy like them. But only the Christ has changed my life. And through his Christ only I am different. But still he's not listening to me. And he's taking action on me. So this is my request for all of you that please pray for me that I should not disrespect the Christ, because in my young age, I learned the truth and I want to follow that truth. I want to be faithful and I want to remain firm in the Christ like David, like Daniel, what he learned in his young age and when he was in the far country, when he went into the Egypt, he did not defile himself. In the same way, what I learned, I want to practice it, because this is the only true word. He is the only eternal God who has changed my life, though I was dedicated, but now I'm dedicated myself before the God. So please pray that whatever my parents taking action against of me, please pray that I need God's grace, because it's not easy, because it's from past 2 to 3 months, that thing is going on. And one day my daddy, he was trying to convince me. And I told that, Daddy, it's not going to be happy. And then he told that, if you are not listening to me, I have spent whole life for you. I have spent more than, he told him, more than 1 crore rupees I have spent you for your, to giving you education. And now you are not listening to me, then don't call me daddy. And that day was really painful for me. But I told that still you are my daddy. And but one thing is that I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to do anything, but I will not disrespect the Christ. So please pray for me. I know that the word has given me a very comfort. Even the Genesis I was reading, the God is comforting me every day. And even in Hebrews, we know that he will not leave me and he will not forsake me. And before concluding my message, my testimony, I want to tell you this incident and then I will conclude it. A missionary from England, he went to northeast of India, Assam, and he shared the gospel there. And that tribal people are very aggressive and very primitive. And that tribal people is known as a headhunter. And why they're known as a headhunter? Because the youth or the man, they used to kill the man. And their wealth is known as that how many heads you have collected. And they will hang on the wall. So this missionary tried to share the gospel. And one family along with his wife and two kids, they received Christ as their personal savior. But the chief man or the tribal of the headhunter, they told that, I want to know that family who has received the Christ because this is against of our faith. And they call all the tribal people. They gather a meeting and then told that, now you have to decide, do you need Jesus or do you need your son, your two kids? And he told that, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And right away that he chopped his two children. And now then after that, he's telling, see, now your two children are dead. Now, do you want to Jesus or do you need your... Now he's telling that now your wife is alive. Do you need your wife or do you need Jesus? He told that, though none go behind me, still I will follow Jesus. And then he killed his wife too. And after that he's telling that, now your children are dead. Your wife is also dead. Now, do you need Jesus or do you need your life? And he told that, the cross before me. And that stanza he told. And then right away, the chief man killed him also. But that made a think to that chief man that what made this person to, he did not, what made this person to die? Even his children died, his wife died, and he himself, but he did not forsake Christ. There's something would be there. Something supernatural power is there. And might be that his the God, the Jesus Christ, be the only eternal. And that, in that public, he told that, I want to receive Christ. And he received that Christ, the whole tribal chain. So this is my prayer that in my village, there is no believer. I and myself is there. It's very hard. It's very hard for my parents also. If I'm following, my parents will get excommunicated. I know my parents' pain as well as I know myself also. But I need, though I all go through this mental agony and emotion, I need your prayer. And that is my request. And thanks once again that Assembly has given me opportunity to share the testimony. Thank you.
It's time to close in prayer. I'm going to take a different approach this morning. Within the next few minutes that is left before us, there are a few of our young people have come forward to be baptized. They are, as they are praying and getting ready for baptism, and perhaps others pondering, and the rest of us who were baptized within the last 100 years, that includes every one of us, right? I want to come back to the very, very basic of something that is very absolutely important for us not to forget, and also to be reminded very often, because these days, the days that we live in is very different, and I'm going to address three fundamentals of a local New Testament church. whether you want to believe it or believe it, whether you want to practice it, or you want to follow this truth that is given to us, it is a personal choice that you have to make. But I felt it very urgently this week that this truth has to be taught. This not only to these three or four or whoever is going to get baptized in the near future, but also for others who has been around for so long, and we should have the basic understanding of the New Testament church. Sometimes we get so used to things that we have seen, we do things that on a regular basis, not knowing why do we do what we do. And by the way, I have no time to go into that. There is a brother and an assembly in Florida is creating small video clips, why do we do what we do? And that has been being published every few weeks. So I think I have forwarded that link to some of you. If you can get another link forward again, please listen to that. Don't think that I know already these things. But that is not very true. I tell you, within the last 4 years' time, four young families left this assembly and went into other local churches. I will come to the reason why some of them, not because they didn't know the truth, they do not take the truth as seriously as they should be. So I am very much aware of the fact that these truths need to be repeated sometime. These are well-known truths. I may not be showing you anything that is anything new. So we are going to go through, there are a number of important fundamentals, but I grabbed a very, very important three, which I hope I can finish that in 25 minutes. And I prepared this slides so I can talk less, you can understand also, that way we'll save some time. Three most important fundamentals of New Testament church. Please, by all means, if you can give me 25 minutes of undivided attention on this, young and old, children, older ones, every one of you, whoever you are, please listen to this. What is the picture? Go to the show here. If I talk about church, when you hear the word church, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? You're going to have an interaction here.
Body of Christ.
When you talk about Christ, any other thought comes to your mind? Anybody else? That's a good answer. Probably the right answer. Anybody else?
Cross.
Huh?
Cross.
Yes, that's another answer.
Place of worship.
Who said that? Place. So she said place. So this is what comes to the mind of most Christians when you say church. I'm going to church means, I'm going to that building. So place of worship. Place is what comes to the mind of people when we talk about church, right? That is majority of Christians, including some among us. Not here I'm talking among the people of assemblies. Scripture makes no reference to a building referring to as a church. Absolutely zero reference to a building as a church. Okay? Church is believers gathered together. We'll come to some of the scriptures in a few minutes. As time permitting, we'll go to read some scriptures. So when you listen, biblically speaking, when you hear the word church, this is church. It is God's people gathered together, not the building. This is church. Come to 130 here. There is no church here. Okay? This is what the Bible talked about church. Well, what are the very foundation of the church? This is a very well-known verse for us. This church is founded, this assembly is founded on these four foundations or these four cornerstones. Or similar assemblies around the world, there are thousands of them around the globe who are founded based on these four foundations, which comes from the scriptures. Turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It's a known chapter, well-known verses, but let me read it again. But just before this verse, we know the fact that Peter was preaching, people were saved, and immediately they were baptized. So those who are getting ready to be baptized, pay very close attention here. The church is is the people of God together. When they come together, what is the four foundation of the church? That verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Apostles' doctrine or the teaching of God's word is one of the four primary function of the local church, which we try to do as closely as possible from this pulpit week after week, Sunday, Wednesdays, and other times that we gather together. Teaching of God's word is primary in one of the four foundation of the church, which almost any church in this world does. Almost any church you go to, they try to do this. Okay, but the foundation doesn't end there. And then the same verse says, the apostles' doctrine in fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. So breaking of bread, which is the Lord's Supper, we just enjoyed this morning for the last few minutes. And the next one is prayer. The prayer meeting is the cornerstone of the assembly. Then there's a time of fellowship of God's people together. So these are the four fundamental biblical foundation or cornerstone, or any New Testament church who wish to practice or exist or teach the way that the scripture tells us to do. So these are the four foundations. These are mostly known to most of you, and perhaps some of the young people may not be knowing that very as much as some others know. So going back, the question comes, what is the difference between this church and the church right across the street? They are also church, and I believe there are majority of them may be believers. I have no argument there. What's the difference between the New Testament church and the church across the street? You have probably, when you left home, you must have passed at least 20 churches to come here. Why did you not walk to the closest one? Are they not believers? Yes, they are. But there is further than what the other churches can teach and practice that we believe from the scripture, which is very fundamental and very close to the heart of God, because he is the one who gave that to us. I'm going to go back to this again one more time. The apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, Lord's Supper, prayer meeting, and fellowship. What's the difference between this church and other churches? Here is the difference. Most of them have taken number 2 out of their picture. Breaking of bread is gone. Some of them do it once a year for the sake of doing it, maybe once a month, I don't know. And most of them have also eliminated number 3. There is no such thing called prayer meeting. Wednesday you go, there will be a chief pastor will be on the pulpit preaching and teaching, which is good. They are still up on the first one here. Most churches in this world do very much concentrate on the teaching and the preaching and some sort of fellowship. One young man who left our assembly sometime back, he said, oh, this church I go, they have the best preacher, they have the teacher, and they also have so-called small group, and I enjoy that fellowship. So he was happy with these two things, and not knowing that he forgot the other most important 2 other factors of the local church. Okay? Most Christians are happy with these 2 things. Are you? The question is for you to answer that. Many of us will move from place to place. We relocate, we go to schools, colleges. And when you go somewhere or relocate somewhere, what is the primary things that you look for in a church where you are looking to fellowship? Are you looking for these 2? You will find anywhere you turn around. I'm not condemning them. They do teach good teachings. I agree with them. I listen to some of their teachings. They have good time of fellowship. But the other 2 foundations are almost invisible in majority of the churches. Maybe there may be a little bit for the sake of it. How about the Great Commission? Here's another confusion that people have. We just went through the Great Commission teaching by Alexander Kurian not too long ago. Here, this is the problem of the 20th and 21st century Christians, including me. I am putting myself in there. That commandment of the Great Commission, I say primarily, underline the word primarily, to individual believers. It is for you and me to go and preach the gospel. We come together. Why do we come together then? Ephesians 4:12 says, we come together as a church, as a body of Christ, to equip to be equipped and go out and serve the Lord, and including preaching the gospel. We have to serve the Lord, and we must also preach the gospel as we go. Yes, collectively we must also preach the gospel. I have no issue. I think as a church we must do everything in possible to preach the gospel collectively also. This responsibility cannot be ignored. When you go out as an individual, your responsibility and my responsibility is to give out the gospel, preach the gospel to someone who is lost. Here is a young man in the street giving out the gospel. And this cannot be done by yours. Without your preaching the gospel, the church will not grow. The first century church is so much into this. Throughout the book of Acts, people went different places and they preached the gospel and the church grew. We cannot cover ourselves under the umbrella of the activity of the church, organized efforts, which is good. I'm all for it. But never to forget the individual responsibility. That's what I'm trying to explain. Now, here is the most important part of the second part. My first point is over. The second point is, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let's turn to that chapter. That entire chapter is talking about the church. Because five times in that chapter, in verse 17, 18, 20, 33, and 34, in five times in that chapter we say, when we come together, that means this chapter is talking about the church gathering. Now let me take back, this entire chapter basically is talking the headship of God. God's headship of Godhead, very clearly. I'm trying to explain the best I can. How does God exist throughout the all eternity? They are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were both are God, equal in God. But we also see that Christ was submissive to God the Father, and the Holy Spirit was submissive to the triune God. But they were equal in footing. This chapter explains, when the church comes together, this principle of Godhead is being placed in our midst. And that is being practiced here. Listen carefully now. I may be a little bit technical when I talk about this. There are four symbols in this chapter. Four symbols given in the chapter. Number one, the uncovered head of man. Verse 4. Please turn to chapter 11. I'm not taking time to read. Because time really runs fast. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonor his head. That means principle number one, or the symbol number one, is the uncovered head of man. Symbol number two, covered head of woman. Verse 5. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonors her head. So, symbol number one, uncovered head of man. Symbol number two, covered head of woman. And symbol number three, the bread that represents the body of Christ. Symbol number four is the cup that represents the blood of Christ. Four symbols. When we come together, we must believe and practice. This is given by the Lord because it directly connects to the Godhead, how it is operates in the church. It cannot be separated. Either we believe all four, or you reject all four. Nobody has the authority to separate and say, I will believe these two symbols and not the other two symbols. These four symbols are given together for the practice of the church. The seriousness is because it is connected to the Godhead himself. It is not cultural. It is not given to Corinthians. It is given to the church as the body of Christ, as coming together, representing the Godhead, the practice of Godhead. I will further explain. We cannot pick and choose. Well, we may do, but the scripture doesn't allow us to. Here is the explanation of headship, the best I can do. Okay? You probably have seen this some years ago. Christ and God are equal in position. Anybody has any argument on that? Any question? They are positionally equal. But God's order is different. God's order of submission is Christ obeys God. He said that throughout the Gospels. He submitted to the God the Father. They are equal, but he was submissive to the God the Father. Man and woman, they are equal in position. No question. When you come together in the church of God, man and woman are equal in position. Absolutely no difference between man and a woman. But the scripture absolutely makes it clear, using the same principle of Godhead, how it is functioning in the body of Christ. Man is submissive to the Christ and woman is under submission to the man. That simply does not mean they are inferior. If that is the case, Christ should be inferior, right? It is the same principle applied to man and woman. They are equal, but they are submissive, but not inferior. This is what is causing the world confusion. Not only in the church, even outside church. When woman is asked to submit to man, it's immediate thought is I am inferior. No, because this is a connection, it is a principle that is applied in the Godhead, function of Godhead. Therefore, it is also applied in the church. We are equal in one, but God's order of submission, which they practice in triune God in eternity. Okay? Now, I put a circle around woman. How does this apply to the church when we come together? The woman covers her glory. The man, in this chapter we read, this order is, woman is the glory of man is the glory of Christ. When we come together, we should only be revealing God's glory. Is woman is man's glory, man is Christ's glory, man should not cover the glory of Christ by covering his head. That's what Paul is teaching. And if woman is man's glory should not be revealed in the church by woman covering the head. Now, this is not husband and wife relation. This is man and woman. Doesn't matter who you are. Married or unmarried, doesn't matter. You must cover her head. You are only covering the glory of man by covering your head, which should not be revealed in the church. Only Christ's glory should be revealed. And therefore, man, he is not supposed to cover his head. Because then if he does that, he is covering the glory of Christ. So woman covers her glory, the man, in the church, that only the glory of Christ is revealed. This is a principle that is very true in the church. This is what the Lord taught us. It is the seriousness to me, it is because it is connected to the Godhead, the function of Godhead. That's point number two. Now one more point I want to bring up. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not condemning anybody in this world. That's not my job. I'm only revealing some biblical pattern that I have learned. Many of you have learned. Many churches, assemblies of this way of our are similar to us, who have learned from the biblical truth and practicing and teaching. That does not mean we are condemning anybody. That's not my job. Please do not misunderstand me that way. I love many godly people. I have close friends of mine who are godly people who fellowship in other churches. I have no argument with them. Simply, they have not understood this truth which you and I have come. Or either they did, like some who left us and went to other churches, they said, well, I know this truth. I don't care for it. I'm going to go anyway. That's their choice. That's a different problem to be addressed. In a New Testament church pattern church, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only shepherd of the church. If somebody asks you who is the pastor of this church, your answer should be the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the chief shepherd. Well, the word pastor may not be applicable to him in that sense that people are thinking. But the Bible makes it absolutely clear that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only shepherd, he owns it, and he's the chief person. Well, how does the church administration happen then? No man should take that job away from the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care how many theological degree a person may have. I don't think how oratory you are. I don't think how much truth that you can preach. No man should ever take that job away from Christ. And he cannot, although he thinks he does, but he cannot. And earlier in one of the songs that we sang, this almost trembles me every time. Reverend is his name. Did you notice that song? The word that we sang, one of the songs. Reverend is his name. Reverend, the name Reverend is used in the psalm, I forgot which psalm it is, only once in the entire Bible, only once that word is used. And that reverend name belongs to God. How in the world any man can take God's name and put behind his name? It trembles me every time I see that. No one should ever take his name. Then there are under shepherds, what we call as we read in the scriptures, whom the Holy Spirit appoints in the local body of church. They are only under shepherds or servants, you can call, serving the Lord's people under the commandment of the chief shepherd, directly under him. This is what the scripture says, the entire scripture, New Testament. And it is always in the New Testament given in plural, never given as one person. In Acts chapter 20, verse 17, we read that Paul sent to Ephesus, last week we looked at it in our adults Bible study, called for the elders of the Ephesian assembly, not the elder of the Ephesian assembly, not the pastor of that church. Paul called the elders of the New Testament church from Ephesians, and they had a communion with them, talked with them. So in the entire New Testament, both in practice and in teaching, it has been always, and it will always be plural, whether I want to believe it or practice it, that's your choice and my choice. And one day we will account to the Lord. It is never a one-man pastor. Last 200 years or so, that practice is so prevalent around the world. It is for you and me to make that choice in our life. Do I want to follow the biblical pattern, or do I want to follow the best convenient place or location I can meet? That choice is yours and ours. It doesn't matter. I mean, I cannot tell you what you should be doing. I'm going to conclude here. I'm going to give you back some minutes I have taken last week. These three fundamentals are very critical in the local body of church. Number one, the four foundations of the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Teaching of God's word, breaking of bread, prayer, and time of fellowship. That's the foundation that I see. And number two, it is a headship order within the church. God's headship being translated and practiced in the body of Christ by revealing Christ's glory alone, by covering man's glory, woman covering man's glory, which is the woman, and revealing glory, the glory of Christ. That is the biblical teaching, because it is connected to the Godhead or order of Godhead. Number three is the administration of the church. It is absolutely clear, if you study honestly, if you are honest enough to study the scriptures, that we are to be under the one shepherd and one alone, the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you this morning. We come to you bowing down with thankfulness for revealing the truth of God's word in its simplicity that is to us. Oh, Spirit of God, that you may deal with every one of us, including myself, that we may be obedient to these truths, because it is given to us, and one day we shall stand before our Savior and give an account of our life, and our disobedience will be dealt with in that day. Help us to be faithful to you, to your word, as we take break and our fellowship, and we continue for the Sunday school for adults and the children. We pray for the blessing upon us. We give thee thanks for this morning. Thank you for thy precious word. Help me and help each one of us to be submissive and be obedient to your precious word in the days to come. We give thee thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.